This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School podcast, episode number 130, Developing Your Intuition, a conversation with Tina Zion. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Welcome to the podcast this morning. We are in for a treat. I am really excited for you to meet our special guest that we have on the show today. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tina Zion, and then I'll let her fill in any of the gaps that I miss here as we explain why this is such important information for you to have, why you want to know Tina and know who she is. So Tina, first off, just thank you for being here with us.
Oh, bless your heart for having me and for taking this time to be with me. Thank you.
Well, it's going to be a blessing to everyone who listens, I can already tell. So I want to tell you everyone a little bit about you before we jump in. So Tina is an intuitive medium. This is going to be a new topic for those of you on my show. So this will be really great. So tune in here. So she's an intuitive medium. She's also an educator, which I love. She's sharing this knowledge with the world, an expert in medical intuition, and she really trains and educates others to then develop their own intuitive skills, which is really important. And she actually does this through a course called Become a Medical Intuitive, which I'm hoping she'll share a little bit about that with us today. Her background, she's a registered nurse, but has a specialty certificate in medical health nursing or mental health nursing, which I think is important because, you know, we'll talk a little bit about how the body and the mind connects, but that's vital that we understand that. She is also a Reiki master, which I love because I am a level 2 Reiki practitioner. Good. And so when I saw that, I was like, yay, we have that in common as well. And there's a lot of other areas that she has studied, but she's brought this knowledge to the world through many books. And I might miss a few here because I think that you're really busy writing, but I know we've got Become Medical Intuitive, Advanced Medical Intuition, the Reiki Teacher's Manual, Reiki and the Intuition, and then her newest book, which I'm so excited to share with you. And I'm not sure when it's coming out, so you'll have to let us know on that one, but it's Be Your Own Medical Intuitive. And that's coming soon. When will we get to have access to that book?
Well, from today, as we sit here on a Tuesday, it will be out Friday. So it will be released October 1.
Oh, this is fantastic. Yeah. Good. You guys will want to get your hands on this. If you listen to my show regularly, you know, I went on a trip to Orlando recently and I was blessed to have this book by my side and I got to read it and really dive in, and it was really exciting. So thank you so much, Tina, for being here with us today.
Thank you.
So as we start, this is a new field. We haven't covered this topic, and intuition itself, I think, is such a big word for people in their minds. We go, oh, what is this? What is intuition? So I wondered if you want to share a little bit about how you came into this space and really what does that actually even mean to be a medical intuitive or to have this intuitive gift? Because I don't think most of us understand it and it can seem a little bit intimidating.
Well, how it came into my life is my family on both my father's side and my mother's side were active spiritualists. So we didn't grow up, and I didn't grow up with a special gift. And I really want everyone to know that because they'll hear this from some people that, you know, they're the only ones that can do this, or there's only a few people in the world that can do this. It's not true. I travel all over the world and watch people pop open as they, you know, as they learn to pay attention to their intuition. So I grew up in a family that we were expected to be intuitive, and we were expected to perceive and interact with our deceased family members. It was just normal. In fact, no one ever even talked about it. There were no classes, there were no anything. So, but as I grew up and grew older, you know, I got busy with life like we all do. But then as a Reiki practitioner and teacher of Reiki, I was giving a lot of Reiki sessions. And so just spontaneously one day, I was looking into a woman's lung. And then the next time I was zooming around in someone's intestines and seeing a group of cancerous polyps and things like that. So I would say the medical intuition part of intuition began around 1991, somewhere around there. And it was spontaneous because in my sense, Reiki really opens up this finer level of intuitive awareness is really what happens with a lot of Reiki people. That's why I wrote the two Reiki books too. And now these medical intuition books. That's kind of how I started it.
What a blessing to grow up in a space where that was the norm.
It was. And I realized that now. I didn't then.
Well, and to be able to take that and then apply it in a way to heal others. I know when I was studying Reiki, there were things that I couldn't explain that would happen. Like, and there was no guidance there. Like I didn't feel like I had a lot of guidance about what am I experiencing? And people would talk when I'm a massage therapist as well. And so when I was in massage therapy school, there were some students that just seemed to know where the client needed work done or where they should rest their hands or where they should do this. And I felt like I was not in that same space. And I was a little jealous and I kept feeling like, oh, I don't know why I can't be intuitive like them or why I can't just sense what should happen like they do. And so I think it's a gift that has to be developed. And is that what led you to want to start teaching this, is to help other people see that they have that ability to kind of be intuitive about what's happening in a situation and what they need? And you mentioned talking or conversing and interacting with deceased family members. I totally want to go there in a minute because I think that's really cool and fun to talk about. But is that what led you to want to teach other people? Is people like me that thought this is not possible for me?
Well, I was already teaching internationally and teaching all over the US and Canada and stuff. And what I noticed is a lot of Reiki people would come to my course to be a medical intuitive practitioner. And a lot of Reiki people came and they would say, well, we were actually trained, or different people would say, well, my teacher told me never to allow intuition into a Reiki session. What? And so that, I don't know how one would keep this level of awareness out of a Reiki session, because it's all about the energy of awareness. And so that's what led to Reiki and your intuition book, is how to bring those two together. So my spirit guides kept saying, teach, because I was doing mental health counseling, Reiki sessions, and also intuitive readings. And so the more I taught about this, because they showed me that this would create a domino effect of people really heightening their intuitive awareness. And I really just help people notice the very, very subtle in life, because this intuitive information is wisdom, and it's often very subtle. People don't even recognize how intuitive they are.
When you look at the yoga space and the Ayurvedic space, because yoga and Ayurveda are sister sciences that are, united together, we give a lot of, I don't want to say lip service, but we'll talk about, our third eye and having intuition and consciousness, raising our consciousness and collective consciousness. These are all kind of catchphrases that you hear a lot within that space. And I don't know if most people really understand them fully, but as you're talking, it feels like there is a overlap here in maybe the terminology is a little different, but that concept of being aware of what's going on within you spiritually, what's going on inside your own body. Because when you're practicing yoga, you're trying to tap into, okay, what are the emotions that are coming up? How am I connecting to other people in the room? And I know as a teacher, you can often feel that energy that's coming from your students, right? We call it prana in yoga, but that energy that's coming from them and the energy vibrations that are in the room, and it shapes how you teach. But is that, am I seeing that right when I'm looking at from my point of view and your point of view, that there's kind of an overlap there?
Yes. And what I would tell you is the way you just described it is you were receiving through one of the pathways of intuition, which was just suddenly just had a wave of knowing. You have a wave of knowing from the individual in the class, but you also were having waves of knowing about the group as a whole. Mm-hmm. And see, That's why most people don't realize how unbelievably powerfully intuitive they are, because they don't recognize it. Oh, well, yeah, I just know it. And, you know, I feel the energy from them. No, that's receiving information. Mm-hmm. The intuition is simply the ability to receive information that's all around.
Well, and you even, there was a really beautiful story that you shared in the book, and you talked about your client was sharing with you, and she was seeing, I'm trying to remember who it was. There was a spiritual leader of some kind that came into this space, and it was someone who had passed. And then her dog came in the room, and the dog, and I can't remember who it was that was visiting her in this room that was in spirit form.
I can't remember either.
Her dog came into the room, and the dog just sat on the chair and was just looking at the space where this, you know, spirit was, and that ability to connect to nature. And in Ayurveda, we work really hard to connect to the world around us and to connect to the natural world. And I like to tell people they need to go forest bathing more often, spend time out in nature. And absolutely, we learn so much from them. And you shared a lot of different examples of how we can tune in to nature a little bit more and use that intuition. And it seems like that's an easy place to start, maybe if somebody is struggling with developing that intuition, because nature's right there and you can kind of see it and feel it and interact with it really directly. Yeah, it's tangible. Yeah. And so when you're not quite comfortable yet with the more subtle, that's right there for you. So I don't know. I loved that part. So do you want to say anything about that? Yeah.
Well, let me talk about the dog, and then we can talk about the forest bathing. Yeah. I was sitting on Zoom with this client, and I could see the spirit being over there behind her in the corner of the room. Maybe it was Archangel Michael or something.
Yes.
Was it Michael?
Mm-hmm. That's who it was.
And I could see behind her, her dog came in through the door and went behind her and sat down and was sitting there looking at Archangel Michael. And so I pointed it out to her. So we were both like, oh, what a great example, because our animals are noticing, you know, this is reality, But as far as going out into the woods, absolutely. But here's one thing I would clarify for people. We tend to work hard when we really want to be intuitive and want intuition in our life. We tend to work really hard at it. And I can tell when people are working hard because their third eye in the center of their forehead tends to push outward. So I'll see an outward kind of like a little tornado, but it's a pushing outward because they're trying to find, they're working hard to find intuitive information. That will get in our way every time. So walking in the woods, to use your example, I would ask you to not work hard about anything and simply notice. Simply talk to the trees, talk to the earth, talk to the path that you're on, and then notice what just gently comes into your awareness, because that's one of the pathways that we receive. So I would say, don't work hard at all. In fact, the best intuitives are actually antennas. And an antenna, you know, doesn't run up and down the road trying to capture information. I know that's the image they give me. But it just stands there very, very gently, very passively, and receives no effort at all. So I hope that will give people, you know, another way to walk through the woods and to notice in a very gentle, very receiving way with no work at all.
That's beautiful. And I think that that is a problem a lot of us have when we're in this space where we're trying to develop it, is we look for the physical instead of the more subtle things that we could find. You talked a lot about popping.
Yeah,
intuition pops. I actually have a little, this is a quote from your book because I loved it. There were a few that stood out. This one says, information that pops into your mind instantaneously will always be the clearest and truest intuitive information.
Yes.
So this past week, I had the opportunity to be in a speech by Tony Robbins, and he doesn't speak live very much due to COVID. And we were really blessed to have him in this event that we were at. And he talked about, he was having us write down things, you know, and so he would ask a question and he'd say, I want you to write the first thing that comes into your mind. Don't sit and work on this. I want you to write the first thing. And I just thought, well, how synchronous is this that I read this and I had just heard him say this and I've been working on finding answers. And yes. So is that hard for people though? Cause that's hard for me. I want to like analyze that popping thought that comes into my mind.
Well, the reason I say, people even tell me I need to start creating bumper stickers saying, take the pop, take the pop.
Oh, that's perfect.
I know they tell me that all the time, but truly now here's what I mean by that. If something, a word, a thought, an image just leaps into your mind, kind of with the feeling of kind of out of nowhere, then that will always, like I said in the book, become it always is a truth, an absolute truth. Now, the split second after that is our thinking mind getting in there and trying to sort it out and think, oh, is that intuition or how did I do that? Or it means nothing. And they blow it off. So the instant, even if we ask, let's say in the woods, even if we ask the tree a question, you take the instant pop. But everything after that will be our thinking mind trying to dismiss it or sort it out. And that's, people tell me that's really, really, really helped them. That's really helped them. I hear that a lot.
Well, and I teach people a lot about the higher, like their higher self versus ego. And I'm not saying ego the way that a lot of people interpret ego, but just that physical form, the mind, you know, the thinking analytical brain is more a good definition of that. Yes. But I know when you're trying to seek an answer and we tell people, listen to your higher self, maybe this is in alignment with that. Cause I think it helps them to see, oh, that first pop, that is that intuition, that knowing, as opposed to everything else that's kind of a false reality that we make up, the brain and all these things where we're trying to analyze it.
Yes.
That helped me just that whole thought of, okay, it's that first glimmer, you know?
Yes. And when you truly begin to take that as an absolute truth, oh my goodness, it, because when we feel what we call the word truth, it's an energy frequency that goes out. It's smooth. It's open. It's very receiving. And speaking, you know, receiving from our higher self is the part of us, the energy part of us that is bigger than what we can squish down underneath our skin. And it really is our inner connection to the all, to the matrix of all that is. And so, yes, and I'm telling you, trust with an absolute trust, the first thing that pops in will always be the clearest.
When I was trying to work on intuition and develop that, I was worried a little bit about being so open that it was bringing in negativity that I maybe didn't want to experience. I have a sibling that has had some experiences with kind of dark, negative spirit interactions. And I've always been a little nervous about that. And so it was interesting as we were talking, you mentioned, you know, interactions with past deceased ancestors. And I understand that if I'm closing off to all of it, I also don't get that beautiful light.
Exactly.
But at the same time, how do you distinguish that? And I know you gave some guidance in your book, but I just think for people who are like, I don't even want to open up to this. I'm much happier being in this, you know, one-dimensional really plane of life. And I don't want to be open to everything that might be happening all around me.
Mm-hmm. Well, people tell me that this really is what I'm known for, is to take the scare, to take the fear out of the non-physical world, because the aliveness that's inside of us is a spirit. We are a spirit entity. Mm-hmm. And so there are spirit entities everywhere. And just like on Earth in the living body, there are not so positive people and there are very, very positive people. It's the same in the spirit world. But very, very simply, I'll tell you that the brighter our light is from inside shining outward, that the negativity cannot tolerate the light. It is so uncomfortable with light. So even just negative spirit people are very uncomfortable with that brightness. And if they do come, they're seeking help. And so I go into that a lot about really how to help spirit people, you know, to cross over and things like that. But be aware of that. The brighter that we are, the more it repels the negative. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that is the truth. Yes.
So when I was in massage school, I had a lot of teachers, one in particular who talked a lot about spirit guides. And he would say, I don't know why you need this right now, but I feel like my guides are telling me to do this. And it was the first time I'd ever heard anyone talk about that. And at first I thought, oh, I don't know. You might be a little on the edge. I don't know if I can be in alignment with that yet. But as I've realized, I often will invite like my grandmother, particularly, who was passed when I was a teenager, to support. Like, I'm like, I need you. Can you just kind of be with me as I'm going through this? And I feel that emotion of her. And I would love to be able to see her. My sister actually has been able to see her before and since she's passed. And that was really a big gift for her. But is it something that for people who don't understand it, can you explain it in a way that makes it a little less kind of intimidating, this whole concept? And is it something that is really available to us and it's just needing to open our eyes to the fact that it's there, like our spiritual eyes to it?
Well, yes, in fact, you are telling your listeners and me another way that you are receiving intuitive information, that you are aware when you reach out in an energetic, because our thoughts are energy. So our thoughts just zoom out into the universe and your grandmother arrives. And my grandmother Marie is here frequently as well. And so they will arrive. And I want you to notice that you realize that there was a different feeling. You knew that she was there. And that's really how it works, because What I would ask everyone to notice is when we are really asking for guidance, I always want the most evolved spirit guides to assist me. So I came up with, I asked myself, what are the words? Because every word is an electrical spurt. What words would narrow it down and to make sure that I only work with the most evolved? And it was divine and sacred, because the negativity doesn't have any divine and sacred. Mm-hmm. I would also say some people love the word holy and pure. So any of those, but I always use divine and sacred. That's the level of advancement that I always want to make sure that I work with. My grandmother is also here, but you know, she was here on the earth plane, and she even tells me she didn't reach the divine and sacred level, but she's still a guide for me. But boy, when I want to really attend to things in my life or attend to other people, only the divine and sacred. So I don't know if that answers your question. See what you think about that.
I do believe that the more clarity we have in asking for help, the more direct we're going to get answers to that.
Yes.
So
yes.
Whether that's if someone's believing that's their spirit guide, if they think that's energy in the universe, because I know, especially with my listeners, there's a wide range of kind of a spiritual beliefs on where we're at, but there is a unified belief in spirit, yes. Right? And Ayurveda is all about the spiritual side of us. That's the cause of disease, is forgetting that we have that true nature as spirit. So if we really believe that, it makes that ability to connect with spirit more powerful, because we can understand that even though we can't see the physical, that there is that spirit there, and it's something that can be an assistance to us. So no, I like what you said though about divine and sacred, because I'm in alignment with that. Yes. I agree with that. I think it needs to be something that's distinct. So do you use specific verbiage when you're wanting to receive guidance, or is it more just being open and having kind of that feeling, divine and sacred, you know, that as your intention?
Well, first of all, I have found over the years that this intuition and medical intuition spans across all religions, all backgrounds, all religions, because I work now on Zoom like everybody else is doing nowadays. And so I have people from all kinds of countries and, you know, all kinds of religious backgrounds. So that is just, oh, just so wonderful for me. I just love that. But what I want everyone to hear with your question is every thought, every word that we think is in a very particular electrical frequency. And then when we string thoughts together to make a sentence or a statement or a question, then the clearer that we create that statement or question, the more precise this electrical frequency goes out to the cosmos. And the more precise that spirit can respond to us, because it is a matching of energy in that way, that if we put out, oh, I need help, you know, you and I could sit here right now and we say, oh, I need help, universe. Well, that's kind of vague and it's very, very open. But if you and I say, you know, something very specific, like a divine and sacred guide who specializes in the health of my body, come forward now. Mm-hmm. See, that's more precise. You're talking about physical health, the health of your body. And so that will draw in information that's also very precise. I could go on and on about that, but I hope that's a good example anyway.
Well, and I'm sure you're familiar with the work, The Secret.
Mm-hmm. You know, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So as you were saying that, that's what I had pop up, was because when I was young, I studied and read and watched that series, that book and the movie, and I didn't understand how to make that happen. And I think what you just explained, it just answered decades of questions that I've had about that.
Oh.
Because that concept, that concept, same. So that concept of sending out, you know, into the universe what you desire, what you need, and then having that come back, I never understood that there was clarity required. So I would think,
do not be vague.
Yes, you do can't not be vague.
It's specific. Yep.
Well,
yep.
And
because
don't you
it's
think?
All energy.
Yeah. It's interesting. Ayurveda, traditionally, its origin story is from ancient rishis, which are, you know, wise sages and teachers and studiers of spiritual principles from thousands of years ago that received divine revelation or direct knowledge about these Ayurvedic principles and about these principles of health and of life. And you have to think that the questions that they were asking and the guidance they were seeking was very specific, because they were seeing what was happening in their communities around them and the health and what people were suffering from. And really their goal was to alleviate suffering. But I've always thought they just were sitting up on these mountains and suddenly they just knew all these things, but they had to have been asking for this direction in the same way that you just described.
And asking very direct, very specific questions. Mm-hmm. And then the key for us here in the world now is to do that very, very specific, very clear questions, short and to the point. But then here's the secret. We have to pause and let spirit answer us. And people don't pause. People will say, oh, I pray and pray and pray and pray. And I said, well, do you stop and listen to receive what you get? No, I never thought of that. And so that's the key, is to pause after each statement or question and just notice without any work what jumps into our awareness.
You actually grandmother. Yes, exactly. Like where I can hear when my grandma's there and what she's needing. You said something in the book over and over again. I want to find it, where you ask yourself a question. You would get to the end of a section in the book, and then you would ask yourself, now it's like not in my mind. You might even know because you said it so many times in there, but you would teach a principle and then you would say, stop now and notice yourself with fascination.
Yes.
I love that. I feel like that's what you were just saying. Yes. I thought I circled it. It was great.
Well, because if we're fascinated, see, that's an eagerness just to receive is how I would say that. We're just eager to receive without judgment, without criticism, without our thinking mind getting in the way. We're just fascinated with whatever happens. Mm-hmm. So it's a way for to describe how people can get out of their own way.
Yeah. Well, and receiving that answer too, is that stopping and noticing. One of the big components that I teach my clients when we're working on health specifically, because that's what I coach people on, is using Ayurveda to become healthier. Yeah. And that ability to notice what's even going on within your own body and to tune in to what is your gut telling you? You just read this, you just heard this, you just had this experience, what's happening? Or you're wanting to eat this food. Your body knows whether or not you need that, if that's going to be the right thing for you. Can you pause a minute before you eat that cookie and think, maybe this isn't, you know, what is it really going to do for me? What's the energy of this food that I'm bringing in? How's it going to affect the energy I'm already having? But that's hard to do, to pause and stop. What do you tell people that have a hard time with that? Like, what's an easy way to start implementing that practice?
Well, the pause is truly not sitting there. I don't mean when I say pause that you're not sitting there for 5 minutes, you know, hoping to get the answer. The pause is just like you and I are pausing. You know, I can tell you're really listening. I'm really listening to you. That's really the pause, is just a split second. And then the next split second is you receive a response. And so that's really what I mean, you know, by pause. Mm-hmm. It's just very, 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 very fast. Very fast.
Like mindfulness, like being mindful or living in this present moment, as opposed to worrying about, you know, what you and I will be doing in an hour. It's being present to what we're. Yeah. I like that.
Exactly. Well, and like with food, your example with food just a minute ago, you know, in the grocery, hold the carrots for a split second and feel, just notice without working at it, notice if your body feels upward, notice if your body feels a bit of sinking, and that will tell you what is right for you. That's just a real quickie to tell you what's right for you. And only, you know, one vegetable at a time or one box of cookies at a time, and get a feel of, ooh, does that feel heavy or does that feel light and uplifting? And that's a real, real quick way. I even tell people to do that with their supplements, that they will be able to tell, oh, wait a minute, that feels really good when I say the name of the supplement and hold the bottle. Then I put that down and I pick up the next one and, oh, I have kind of a heavy feeling on that, or sinking in or something like that, to really, really listen to our body with those sensations.
Well, we were given all of our senses intentionally to be able to interpret the world around us. That's really how we take it in. And we did an exercise once when I was in Ayurveda school with food in the way that you're talking about. And we actually would take the herbs and we'd hold, you know, say basil, and we'd smell the basil and we'd touch the basil and we'd meditate on the basil. And at the first time they suggested that, I thought, how do you meditate on an herb? This is the most interesting exercise ever. But we would just sit and feel the energy coming from this plant. And then we discussed, what did we feel from it? And it was really short. It was, you know, just maybe a minute that we sat and did this. And then we just discussed, what did you feel? And the feelings were different from different people. And in Ayurveda, we categorize a little bit based on doshas, is what we call it, you know, your constitution. And it was interesting which constitutions were drawn to which herb. And it was almost unilateral, where all of the pittas were drawn more towards like the peppermint, whereas, you know, the different doshas were drawn to herbs that were more balancing for that particular dosha. So there's a lot of truth to what you were just saying.
Oh, thank you for sharing that with me. I love that example. Thank you.
Yeah, it was really fun. So meditation is part of that receiving, because that's something we really, you know, teach a lot in Ayurveda, is meditating. But is it, is it taking what you're intuiting or learning during that meditation? And then how do you kind of keep that open state? Because when you're meditating, you're very open typically to reception.
Right.
And then we stop meditating and we get off of our meditation pillow, you know, figuratively or physically. And then we go on throughout the day and we don't stay open. How do you, is it like a muscle? You just got to practice it over and over. I mean, how do we get better at that?
Well, when we sit in meditation, we are actually training ourselves to be quiet. And I always tell people, because a lot of people from very traditional churches will say, oh, you know, don't meditate. That will lead you to, I don't know, badness or something. When in fact, we are actually, I tell people who struggle with the idea of meditation that, well, it's really a prayerful time, but we are listening instead of chatting away at God or spirit or the universe. It's a listening time. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I guess it is. Mm-hmm. So yes, absolutely sit in meditation. But then I will do this. I'll talk to my guides. I'll talk to ask questions, say, make statements while I'm standing in the line at the grocery, while I'm, you know, in the drugstore, I don't know, wherever I'm at. So I also realize I can create a listening time all throughout my day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interacting all the time with my guides, not just sitting on the pillow, which I do. But see, that's the most beautiful training, to actually begin to listen and actually receive. Because again, that takes me back to the original thought of what intuition is. It's simply noticing that we can receive this wisdom all the time.
Yeah. Mm. I wanted to talk just a minute about the medical side of this, because you teach some really practical applications to this in your book about scanning your body. And we talked a little bit about auras in there, but we haven't really gotten into that too much today. So I just wanted to see, we're working on intuition, right? We're listening, we're being quiet, we're asking direct, clear questions of the universe so we can get it back, of spirit so we can receive answers back, and being very open to what we're receiving around us. So I'm just summarizing what we've kind of gone through today, and we're taking that meditative time. How do we start applying that to us in a medical sense, where we actually are able to identify what is happening? You know, someone's experiencing gastrointestinal issues, and how do they work mm-hmm. with intuitive sense to be able to kind of help that and to know what their bodies need for them?
Well, we can invite in a medical intuitive guide who specializes in, you know, Tina Zion's health, who specializes in Heather's health, and work together with that guidance. And I would also ask people, with your example of gastrointestinal stuff, that I would say, talk to your stomach, talk to your intestines, talk to your esophagus. And again, with very clear questions, very direct questions, and then pause and take the pop. Mm-hmm. So for example, the stomach, people will tend to, because the stomach is there in the solar plexus area, it tends to be about struggles to really recognize our own very personal empowerment, being who we are supposed to be in life. And for a simple example, if someone has an ulcer in their stomach, which is a real common thing, you know, when people are struggling, then that adds this component, is what is eating away at you about who you're meant to be. You know, so our body's speaking to us, and very certain negative, what we call negative thoughts and emotions, tend to congregate in very certain parts of our body. Like the burden of responsibility tends to go to shoulders and the back of our neck, mm-hmm. Things like that. old anger tends to go to the liver. And I think it's fascinating. So not only is that mind-body connection, but it's mind-body-emotion connection is what we're talking about too.
Well, and from a doshic standpoint, we have different places in the body that the dosha resides, and we'll say their main home is actually in the GI tract in different locations, but they have vacation houses other places, like vata vacations in the joints. So if you're having joint issues, it's typically of a vata constituent. And so it's interesting because if you're, you know, going to that Ayurvedic layer, then we're able to then add that level of understanding on top of just those questions that we ask about the emotions, because anger is a very pitta, fiery, heated emotion. And the liver forms a lot of the enzymes that we call pitta in Ayurveda as well. So they're kind of like a byproduct of that. So there's so much overlay between it. It's just the terminology is different.
I know, it's a blessing. I love talking to you about this because look at this interconnectedness. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I think it's good. Well, we're probably getting close to the end of our episode, but if there's anything that you haven't gotten to share, I mean, I feel like there's such a wealth of knowledge coming from you, and I just want to make sure the listeners are able to take away what you want them to hear.
My hope is always that people truly learn how powerful they are in their thoughts, emotions, and in the guidance of their life, that we no longer have to be victims. So I hope to take people from that sense of being a victim to their body or a victim to their illnesses or whatever's going on or negative repetitive patterns in life to know that there are very specific steps to work with energetically to really power up. We are very, very powerful, but most people don't realize it at all.
Yeah. I want to read one quote from your book here because it's perfect. You even said this is probably the most important thing that someone could take from the book. Like you said that in the book. And then after it, here's the sentence. So everyone, I want you to turn on your antenna. See what pops for you here. Okay. You are all creators on the most subtle yet most important level of all, energy. That in a nutshell is intuition. And that is Ayurveda. That is yoga. It is that energy, that prana, the life that is between and in everything, and that ability to tap into everything. And connect.
Mm-hmm. There's meaning in everything.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Tina, how can people find you so that they can stay connected and study with you or learn more from what you do?
Well, my website is very simple. It's tinazion.com because I wanted to make it easy to find me. And on there, you'll see my live Zoom workshops that I have, and also my books. And also I have a recorded course. And people, especially in other countries, tend to take the recorded course, which is exactly the same information as my live course. But yeah, it's all on there and you can read about my background, things like that. Thank you for asking that.
Oh, well, I want to make sure people know how to find you. And Be Your Own Medical Intuitive is coming out on October 1st. So very soon, I'm assuming we can find that in Amazon and all of the normal places to purchase books.
All the normal. Yeah.
All the normal. I love it. Well, it has been a pleasure. This has really been a treat for me today. And I know our listeners will just be so happy to have learned this kind of interconnected field of study that they can then kind of pursue a little bit as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tina. Have a beautiful day. It was lovely to have you on.
Bless your heart.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at AyurvedaLifeSchool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.